April 22nd, 2006. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
WBAI. With me today is Richard Hell, whose new album, Blank Generation, has just been released. Richard, it's nice to have you here today.
Thanks, Bob. It's nice to be here.
Richard, I'm sure everyone would like to know. I mean, we've read many stories, and in a lot of ways, your reputation and all the articles that we've read precede your first album. What I'd like to know, and I'm sure the listeners would like to know, is how it all started. Basically, we've come to know you first through television. How long were you with television?
Well, I think very many people know me through television because it was such a long time ago that television the audience who came to shows at CBGB's at that time was maybe 50 people on a good night. You know, maybe there was one, two concerts towards the end. I mean, we got a lot of press when I was in the group, but still, it was, there weren't very many people that saw us, and there's not very many people that associate me with that group anymore.
Was there, at a time I heard, was there a conflict between you and Tom Bellane at one time? Is there any truth to that, or was that part of the reason?
Well, that's why I left the group, but, you know, I don't think it has much news value.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
was it more of a question of artistic freedom? Did you feel limited, or, because now with your...
It turned out we had completely different aims, you know. When the group started, we had our aims were mutual,
And then
they gradually split.
So from television, it went to the Heartbreakers. How did that all come about? Was that a group that was formed completely from point zero, together, or
that,
with a specific direction?
That I got a phone call from John and Jerry a couple of days after I'd left television, and they had just decided that they were going to split from the Dolls. They were in Florida at the time. And, So, at that point, I thought it would be a great break, you know, because I really liked the way they both played, and I really didn't have any other kind of plans at the time, except that I wanted to, you know, get back on stage as soon as possible.
Was there a turning point? You said, like, in the beginning with television, when you originally started playing there, that the big crowds weren't there. When did you see all of a sudden the big crowds and the press and everybody starting to realize what was going on?
Well, I always have to, people that came to our gigs were press people. Towards the end, the word had spread far enough that eyes were going. A couple other bands had turned up at that time. It was just, Patty had just started playing with musicians. I don't even think she had a drummer by the time I had left the group, but she was putting on shows in rock clubs. And the Ramones also had started playing at CBGB's. So they had just begun to develop a genuine, scene following for the groups.
How come, how did the break with the Heartbreakers occur and then into the Voidoids?
Well, the Heartbreakers, I'm trying to think how to describe the difference between the two partings. Let's see. And now it's more the same kind of reason.
Yeah.
John, those guys, they really resisted me asking them to do anything than what they had always done, you know.
Well, are you going to say, like, now with the Voidoids, do you feel comfortable now? Is this your real real expression? This is Richard.
Well,
what's
the
on
the difference between this group and those groups? This group didn't just didn't just kind of sort of arbitrarily fall together, you know.
Yeah.
This group is very carefully.
This is an expression of Richard Hell's.
It's just that I've made very sure.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time I began this group, I knew exactly what I wanted
right.
to do, and I made very sure as I was talking to each potential member
right.
of the group and playing with them that they had the same intentions
right.
as I did.
Right.
You
in other words,
it wasn't a matter of getting people that would, submit themselves to my will,
right.
you know. We weren't five people that had the same intentions,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Maybe the thing to do right now is to go to first two cuts, Love Comes in Spurts and Liars Beware on Richard's new album, Blank Generation. Okay, we're back, and this is WBAI in New York. We were just listening to Richard Hell's new album, Blank Generation, and we heard Liars beware, and love comes in spurts. As you know by now, Richard has joined us in the studio, and we're
that
talking with him.
That sounds so mean. I feel like I got to be evil from now on. Rest assured.
Well, let me ask you, you would consider yourself, I guess, a punk rocker. How do you define punk rock? I know it's probably been gone over and over again, but you're probably one of the first people to really start with the look, the hairstyle, all these things, which has been seems to be picked up by the English and really gone berserk with the whole style. I mean, how do you define punk?
I mean, to me, is a real strict definition of a style of music that had its first incarnation in the late '60s in America. It was the music of bands that were influenced by the Rolling Stones, but didn't know how to play instruments and. Influenced also a whole lot by psychedelic groups, but they were saved from the horrors of the kind of psychedelic music that San Francisco groups like Jefferson Airplane and Grateful Dead made, because they didn't know how to play the instruments. You know, so they were combined aggression of. Somebody like Rolling Stones with the pretensions of somebody like Jefferson Airplane, the Grateful Dead, but since they couldn't play, being that pretentious didn't hurt them, you know. They would just write these really hilarious songs about, you know, journeys to the centers of your mind and stuff like that. Or else, real violent, aggressive, macho kind of songs. And they were born in garages, you know. And it's the music that's on the on, for instance, Jimmy Cave's Nuggets album. You know, that's what punk music means to me. It's something that's in the past. And when, for instance, all the groups I've been inspired by that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
But the development you're talking about with. You know, the costumes and stuff that that what's identified as punk today, and the purest of the groups that are playing now and are members of that that movement do have something a lot in common with the sound I'm talking about as punk. But there's a whole lot of groups have gotten their names associated with the movement in one way or another that have absolutely no, relationship to that kind of music. But the people who write stories for news magazines and stuff, they're aware of
they really
that kind of musical
movement?
History. So they just, they've made the word. Meaningless, you know. So I think it's preferable to use new wave. Doesn't offend me to use new wave because it's so abstract, general kind of term, but it also is talking about something that's definitely going on. You know, it's not a lie to say there's a new wave. But it is a lie to say there's a punk movement and write about Blondie and television and
right.
Any number of groups that are really make, you know, when punk applied to them, make the word meaningless.
Do you think any of the groups or so-called groups that have
visible... Where's my beer?
visible images stick to that image? Will people... Will that take away some of your own freedom as far as expression that... Say, right now, New York is well aware of what's going on. Say, you go to the Midwest or different countries. Will people be expecting
well,
to see certain...
Well, that's the point now that it... What... When, for instance, when I first began doing certain things that are identified with punk, you know, it's now gotten to the point where it's a costume show, you know, so it's lost all of that original meaning as well. When I was in L.A., this weekend, and it's back, they had a punk fashion show, you know, and there are all these kids coming, just a chain of stuff, you know. I mean, and part of what it meant to me even was the you know, the thrill you get by looking cool, but bypassing the people that would exploit you, you know. I mean, you don't look cool by going to the most expensive department store, say, out your money. You look cool by, you know, taking it into your own hands, you know, and demanding that whatever you do, people regard it as being cool, you know. But now it's just become a trend, you know, and this stuff, and it's no different from exactly what we were reacting against, which was the glitter movement in rock and roll, you know, really, like, it's gotten to the point where it's more of a costume show than glitter ever was, you know, which defeats the whole purpose of it, as far as I'm concerned.
Is it possible?
You know, the purpose was that, you know, you can be poor and you know, not obsessed with your appearance and still be the coolest guy in the block, you know.
Right. But is it going to be possible for the groups that, in a sense, that do represent that point that you can be cool, you can be, say, you know, not financially set, whatever. I mean, as things happen, and I think most of us, I think you might agree that it's been a struggle for a lot of people, but as the struggle gets a little bit easier in a monetary sense, is it going to be, is it necessary for the groups to maintain that certain sincerity? I mean, when record sells, it might be easy to go into...
Well, I tell you, I can't conceive of the problem because it's so distant from me right now. I mean, I'm certainly in no threat of appearing to be posing by not having very many clothes because I'm not making no money. I'm being accused of posing by people all day and night, but so far, that one I can definitely squelch, you know, that...
Is that point
that,
made by
my the lack of quality in my wardrobe is deliberate, you know?
Is that why the cover of your album it has you without a shirt on? Is that
I could have worn a shirt. I admit it. I do have a shirt or two in my wardrobe. So that was a conscious choice.
Let me ask you. This is Was there ever a time where you felt, you know, super frustrated? Where does this affect you as far as, you know, leaving a group or things are happening? You don't have a group to perform. You want to get back on stage. Does that affect you? I mean, does that do things to your head?
Well, I've been real frustrated. Not because I didn't have a group and couldn't go on stage, but because of the problems I was having in whatever group I was in. But also, really, I've been working hard at this, you know, for 2 or 3 years now. And sometimes I really have doubts about it. I get real frustrated. You know, it just can't happen fast enough for me, you know. And when I see the kind of situation you've got to face going on the road and stuff, and you don't make money for a long time, none of these groups are making money on the road yet. There's not a single, you know, there's, you know, say the 10 groups that got an album, none of them are making more than expenses by touring.
What are the rewards then? What keeps you in it? I mean, what makes it all worthwhile, even at this point where it's still a struggle and it's still, in a sense, pitching pennies at time? I mean, what makes it all worthwhile?
Well, you know, you either got to die or try.
I don't know. Would you, in a way, can you look at rock and roll, the whole new wave, as the American dream, one of the last places where, you know, you can really test the system as far as...
Well, that's definitely a big pill of rock and roll, is that you can get all the benefits of that, of what you're talking about, supposedly without sacrificing any integrity or anything of a teenager. You know, that you can still be a complete teenager, act like it all the time, and do whatever you want as a teenager, you know, and still have all the things that all those, you know.
Why would you say that?
All those capitalist rewards, you know.
Why does the system allow that? I mean, or and is
well,
the label?
The system is built around consumer buying power, and teenagers have a lot of consumer buying power. So, naturally, teenagers are going to go for other teenagers. So that makes it possible for, you know, if 4-year-olds had money, there would be, you know, a whole lot of 4-year-olds. If 4-year-olds got $10 allowances a week, there would be 4-year-old millionaires.
Right. as far as the record companies go, are they, or with Sire, did they give you the freedom that you wanted? Did you feel that there wasn't
something that
you...
Oh, yeah, that's what made that company attractive to me. Because you know, we were talking to a number of companies, some that were a lot bigger than Sire, but that's something that Seymour, the guy who runs the companies, is... very, very frank with you about, and he means what he says. He really gives you control over your own record.
Okay, we're talking with Richard Hell about his new album, Blank Generations, and let's go back to the album. We'll start out with Betrayal Takes Two, followed by Down the Rock and Roll, Down at the Rock and Roll Club, and Who Says. We are back, and I'm Bob Alexander, and I'm speaking today with Richard Hell, and we've been listening to his new album, Blank Generation. We heard Who Says, Down at the Rock and Roll Club, and Betrayal Takes Two. Richard, the title of your new album is Blank Generation. Is that your quote-unquote message at this point in time? Is that how you see things right now as far as...
When I wrote that song, that was about the second song I ever wrote, and it was in 1974. And it was sort of a joke. Yeah. It was based around the idea of I wanted to sort of describe myself and protest about the conditions that made me feel that way at the same time. But the joke was, and the thing that was built around was, I was gonna, and it was like a genre song, you know, like in movies, they have genre movies. Mm-hmm. I saw a genre of generation songs, like Who's My Generation? There was a song in the 50s called I Belong to the Beat Generation. And, but I was gonna sort of, trick the genre by not committing myself to saying what, you know, what there was about my generation that, differed from any other generation. I was just gonna draw a blank.
Did
you know?
Think
and it was like a joke, you know? And it's so funny because nowadays people know that term more than they know the song,
right.
You know? And there's a lot of writers who, you know, display the depths of their depravity and insincerity, you know, and ignorance by treating that song as if it exploited an already existing trend, you know, as if, see, they saw the word before they heard, they saw the phrase before they heard, knew the song existed. So they treat me as if I'm exploiting something in a real pretentious way. I'm trying to, you know, grab the fire of leadership of the punk movement or something, I don't know. And, you know, but the fact was that I wrote that song before there was any punk movement at all, you know. At the time that I wrote that song, not only was it, you know, moving, but I expected my audience to take it as half a joke, you know. And at the time I wrote the song, we were the only group in the world that that had short hair and torn clothes and safety pins, put them back together. And we regard ourselves as complete outsiders, you know, that, you know, we felt like we were in the tradition of the Velvet Underground, that we'd never arrive at a point where anybody could accuse us of posing, because there was no reason to pose like that, because who'd want to be that way? You know, we thought we'd be completely rejected by the, everybody, you know, and it just turned out that that wasn't the way, so now we get accused of acting that way to capitalize on something that existed before, when in fact it didn't exist before. You know, I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I hope so.
Well, let me ask you now, when you, in a sense, that's part of the excitement of rock and roll. Do you ever try to figure out, when you're writing a song, where the public is at, what they want to hear? Is that something that you concern yourself with when you're writing a song, trying
no,
to...
No, because, you know, from the first very first song I wrote, I always thought of myself as being a complete reject from the world, you know? And I had no vested interest in anything, so there was no way that I could profit by attempting to write a certain style of song. I was using rock and roll as a means of finally finding a field where I didn't have to disguise what I really felt like. I mean, that was the whole point of rock and roll. That was the whole appeal of it, was you don't have to pretend to be other than you actually are, you know? So it has turned out that a few of these songs, you know, are, you know, have meaning for somebody else besides me. And, you know, that's real gratifying, you know. But to me, that just encourages me to continue writing stuff that has no object except to satisfy myself, you know, because, I mean, that's, you know, it already has shown itself to be more effective than I ever dreamed it would have been, you know.
Does that make it easier to write songs?
I mean, I shouldn't have expected to open up Time magazine and see an article headlined Anthems of the Blank Generation, you know.
Does it make it easier to write songs knowing that what you are saying is turning on people?
Well,
does that give you more freedom to write?
At the same time, it hasn't been established that people like them enough to buy them yet, you know, so I don't know yet.
Well,
you know,
let me ask you this. How many people really is it necessary for an artist to turn on, for an artist to, you know, feel satisfied? I mean, does there come a point in rock where...
I don't want to tell the story about this copyright thing, as long as we're talking about that, like Blank Generation. On my way up here to the station today, and I opened the mailbox and I pulled this out, and it's a letter from the copyright office. Refusing copyright for Blank Generation. Do I have enough time to tell?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, plain sight. I didn't know what he was saying anyway.
Okay. To get Sound Sky for Ride, you have to have lead sheets made up, which are just music written out. You know, the words of the song underneath the lines and the notes on the lines. Everybody knows what that looks like, right? But the way they make them is the people do it professionally. They just listen to the tape and they write the word underneath the note that you're singing that word. Now, if on the tape you aren't singing a note that's a true note they could establish as a true note in this system of lines and spaces, they make an X instead of drawing the usual, you know, circle or something like a quarter note or an eighth note or a sixteenth note. They just put an X there. And my generation is all X's. There's not a note in the song.
In a sense,
according to the way I sing it, so they're refusing me copyright. And I think we should protest.
But isn't that what...
Listen, what is singing? Birds sing, right? Birds are the classic singers. Birds are the singers that we all admire, right? Now, do you think a bird sings in little round quarter notes and eighth notes? But the copyright is... office is refusing... This bird here...
It doesn't make much sense.
...is copyright. Just because it's not in the human system of little round notes. Everybody that's listening to write and demand that hell gets copyright for Blank Generation. Is that okay? Next question.
Is that possibly also what possibly the opposition that the whole new wave music is coming up against?
That
it is not within.
That. Now everybody knows that they can make a Blank Generation, write it in.
But it won't be the same.
I know your listeners are honest. They wouldn't do that, would they?
You could tell by the mail.
I could still legally win, friends. I know.
Do you think that the new wave music is up against this opposition to a structure that, you know, part of the, you know, just taking from that as a metaphor or as something to say that, you know, the new wave is presenting something new.
I don't think this is really relevant to that, but you're right.
I mean, how
That's
new is
true.
The new wave as compared with...
It's not that it's new. I mean,
there's something about it that's that people are liking.
Well, that's the best tradition of rock and roll is being an outlaw. You know, I mean, I was reading this guy's memoirs, who was Bob in Brooklyn in the 50s, and he described how when at the Alan Freed shows, do you know the name of the theater where he used to throw those at in Brooklyn?
No idea.
Anyway,
Paramount,
right? That there would be guys there that would go get tickets for every show every afternoon and plot out, plotting Jackie Wilson's moves across the stage. Because he apparently had a pattern that he followed, and he would move real fast, so they couldn't hit him with the bottle on the first day. They'd go every day and figure out where he's going to be next. And catch him with a bottle on the fly, you know? I mean, that's just facts of life.
Is middle America
you know?
Ready for
and
Richard Hell?
Please don't like that.
No. You performed it.
So true.
Is middle America ready for Richard Hell? Are you looking forward to going out into completely, uncharted audiences that are really look at new wave punk as being really new? In New York here, we've been, you know, listening to it for a while now, but still in different parts of the country, in different countries, it's still pretty much new to them.
I do want a bodyguard.
Do you really feel that some of this hype that in England, like I understand you're leaving to go on tour fairly soon for England, that possibly this concept that punk rock is violent, this and that, almost to the point where maybe the groups want this kind of violence to happen. I mean, are you worried about that? I mean, any degrees out there that you might get hurt?
I think about it, you know. I've been in enough threatening situations where, but if it got to the point where I really saw something, I don't know. In England, they spit at you for show their approval, you know. And I'm a little skeptical about that. But if they really, if it really means they like me.
But you know, you can get used to anything.
After all that applause, you know, can hurt your ears. I mean, it's like kissing them, I guess, really. Get a little dribble on your face. You know, it's like communion.
From Pedro Show. That was some television from 1975. Oh, man. Okay. Speak on your mic, Brother Matt.
Hey there.
There you go.
Good morning.
Oh, we only had one side there. That was television from 1975, a tune called Judy, live at Mother's. Before that, we had a, well, I don't know, 30... 5-minute interview with Richard Hell, WBAI 1977.
In prime form.
Yeah. WBAI, a Pacifica station for New York City, and Richard Hell telling us why we should use new wave instead of punk. I don't know if he'd say that now. And, that was the moment, too. I mean, Richard is very astute, right man, and those were trippy times for him, I think. Just before going to England for the first time. So, an interesting take on those days. I was just getting out of high school. Well, I'm class of 76. We started with John Coltrane doing Big Nick. It's April 22nd, 2006, version of the Watt from Pedro Show. Brother Matt, we got a guest.
Yeah, Rick Czar, welcome back to the homeland.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Come over, say hi.
Yeah.
Just say hello, and it's great to be in San Pedro. I want to say thanks for Watt and Brother Matt, and I love you guys so much, and this is great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're going to jam later on with Brother Matt's spin cycle on the slidage in Doe Bridge.
12 string last night down at Sacred Grounds.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll grab a 12 for a little playing when I do cool, these cool. That I'm
yeah. Does that got a plug in?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, nice, so we'll put you in.
That's awesome.
Meld the sounds.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm in my paddling outfit. I came straight from paddling. We're doing an early morning on Sabado. My last gig tonight, local, before going overseas with Stooges, Iceland, Norway, France, Switzerland. I'll be back May 11th. So.
Whoa.
Oh, that was a weird sound.
Yeah, sounds.
Somebody's telegraphing
us. Morse code.
Okay.
Mayday.
Some more tunage here. Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. That was some Flaming Lips with Vein of Stars. Before that, we had Hold Your Terror Close by Go Team. Yuka Honda before that was Some Days I Stay in Bed for Hours. And we started with Draining a Lake. Oh, man. So, strange. I don't know if there's a theme around all that. But,
instructions on how you ever
sometimes
drain a lake.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I'm looking for a good band name or title of a tune, you know. Got enough generic, man. We need some boldness. It's not supposed to be meant as a criticism. It's more a devotional.
Be real.
Yeah. My hopes would have it that way. Don't want to flaunt the negative thing too much.
There already is something else, so do your thing, because it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah. And if all them Xerox machines get broke, maybe, you know, having enough jobs as a Xerox machine repairman might not be the best possible option. You know, maybe they should stay broke. Or just enough to get flyers printed. But not tunage. Not stories, not movie, not poem, not painting. That has to be what I would consider vital to keep fresh and in the moment and bold. And if you go down, okay. But you know what? Down the road, people might pick up on it. And stuff that isn't affirmed in the moment, it's an investment in the future.
Planting seeds.
Yeah, seed planter. Seed toss. You know.
Yep.
So, Rick, are you on tour? Why were you playing at the Sacred Grounds Coffee House San Pedro last night?
Well, actually, I'm not on tour, but I've been playing for finally the last couple of years, playing professionally and not touring, but just doing upstate New York. And I came out to visit my relatives, and they're up in San Fran. So I booked a show at a Sacred Grounds up in San Francisco and played that. And then I came down and played the one down in San Pedro.
But they're not connected, are they?
No, they're not. It's just so funny. I was just searching the web, just trying to book, and I thought, well, Dave just got me this one. I'll try another Sacred Grounds, and the guy got me up there. But I am going on almost 50 gigs since January of this year, so I'm playing real regularly in upstate New York, and I've got some shows in New Mexico and Colorado next month, and I'm playing at some bluegrass festival outside of Nashville in July, and then we're moving out west. So I'm kind of trying to do my thing and be real and play a lot of guitar, and it's taken me a long time to finally quit the real job world to just try and play and stuff, and it's been the most rewarding experience.
Oh, music can be a real job, believe me.
Oh, yeah. I should say my first time doing music as opposed to other jobs.
It's a different job.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, he had some bitching jobs, though. Lightning Globes.
Yeah, I actually worked for the guy that invented those things for a long time. And
well, it's hard to see that on the radio, but that's like a device, almost like a but it's triggered like a color organ.
Yeah.
So our voice is like manipulating a little Tesla blaze.
Yeah.
But the blue, orange, and whatever. Oh, well, we're at the end of the first hour, April 22nd, 2006, Virgil Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. April 22nd, 2006. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
The less voices apply to me, changing the change and the change in me, locked to a door that has no key, and I have never been so free, but I'm not crazy.
No,
I'm not crazy.
No,
I'm not crazy.
No. day as night. I write the words I cannot write, and throw all the rest away in spite. But I'm not crazy, no, 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 no. I'm not crazy, no, 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 no. I'm not crazy, no, 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 no. I'm not crazy now. I'm not crazy now. Rivers run and start to freeze, and all the world is sad. You only get the things you need by losing all you had, until at last it drives you.
From Pedro Show. That was some My Shining Hour by the Dan Hick Trio. I think Johnny Mercer song. The Dan Hick Trio from Seattle, drummer there is John Wicks, and he's accompanies me and Money Mark when we do the Los Pumpkinheads jams here in San Pedro once a month at the Sacred Grounds Coffee House, where Rick Czar played last night, who in a little bit is going to accompany on an improvisational tip, a collaboration with Brother Matt and a Spin Cycle.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But first let me tell you that before the Dan Hick Trio was from Madrid, a band called Von LMO with a tune called Be Yourself. We were trying to detect the accent since it said Madrid. I guess every kind of spiel is an accent in its own way. It's just like when people say something is, there's no order to it. Well, randomness is an order, isn't it? It's a random one.
Natural.
Yeah. And we start off the second hour with I'm Not Crazy by The Last, something Joel Nolte gave me. In fact, I got the only one, I think. The Last recording in 2006. He said the album might be called The Last. This is a band that's been around almost 30 years. But anyway, without further ado, it's my privilege and just way into it. Brother Matt in his spin cycle with Mr. Rick Czar on the 12-string guitar.
Yeah. Y'all ain't from around here, are you? Where you boys trying to get to? The Swan. Down this road right here. You go down this road here. You go down a ways and you come up on. You come to some crossroads. Keep going. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a few lonely days of living. I'm tired of waiting. You're a couple, especially when your body's double duplicate, and then you wait for the next Kuwait. Karma coma, Jamaica and Roma. Karma coma, Jamaica and Roma. Karma coma, Jamaica and Roma. Karma coma, Jamaica and Roma.
2 minutes. I got a moment for you.
Watt from Pedro show. That was Hurt Mold. That's a name, huh? Brazilian band. We've just heard three Brazilian bands following Brother Matt's spin cycle. Rick Czar collaborating with him.
Thanks.
Anyway, that was Hurt Mold with Mini Otario. So something in Portuguese?
Hurt Mold. Maybe they had a
Hurt Mold
dictionary.
I don't think that's Portuguese. Before that, we had Van Damien, which is a very Portuguese-sounding name, Kicking Down My Door. But, yeah, my Guess This Land. We should have a contest, maybe. I play the song, and you guess the land, or try to, that they come from. And before that, Forgotten Boys with Get Load. Not Get Loaded, but Get Load. And, of course, before that, Brother Matt Spin Cycle with Rick Czar on 12-string. And your Dobro slide.
Yeah.
And Rick, that was your first time on the slide. All right. That's what Watt from Pedro shows for, springboard. Get you diving off into new realms, different realms. Are you from the hill or the part that
the
got
Crestwood
RPV'd song. Out? Crestwood,
yeah,
Amiralis.
Crestwood,
yeah,
up
there
on Amrose Avenue.
Okay. But you're far back there so nobody can hear you. Oh, he knows Twan.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we've had Brother Twan on. He's good people.
Yeah, he might be coming down.
Oh, cool. Well, we're at the end of the second hour, April 22nd, 2006, edition of Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. April 22nd, 2006. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's part N of Moon Over Morocco.
However high the eye may rise, it will find the eyebrow above it.
El Kaba and the little Flossie and her band of men were not far from the palace of the Sultan Hassan Bizel when Jack was carried off on a great winged horse. Well, the horse turned into a hollow log, and Jack fell straight smack back down into the desert, where he landed with a splash.
Good grief. I landed in an oasis. With one palm tree oasis. Probably bigger than a washtub.
Jack, where did you come from?
Well, I just dropped out of the sky.
I guess so.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Sunny Skies. You remember me, don't you?
No.
Really?
Why did you call me Jack?
That's your name, isn't it?
Jack?
Jack Flanders.
Jack Flanders?
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Tell the Countess that Jack Flanders is arriving in here. I'm staying at... Yes.
You know, now that you mention it... Yes.
It should. That's you.
And I sort of remember you.
Oh,
sorry. Boy, you really have a suntan. You look like a native.
Apparently I've been acting like one, too.
I'm really glad we ran into each other. You know, everybody here is like from some other world.
I noticed that, yes.
What is that?
Hmm?
That gold thing you're wearing on your forehead. Can I see?
Oh, yeah, sure.
An eye. Is it solid gold?
It is the golden eye of El Kaba.
Far out.
Have you heard about it?
From somewhere, yes.
How did you get here?
I don't know. I can't remember. Until you arrived, I was beginning to think this was it. This was the real thing. Where I'd come from was the dream.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Is this place an illusion?
Well, no. No more than any other place. You,
Am I?
You seem fascinated by this eye.
I guess I am.
What do the sands say?
A queen, Azora, and the king, Hassan Bazil, almost snuffed out poor old El Kaba.
Almost?
Yeah. He was riding on a wooden horse and fell into an oasis.
By the might of Allah Almighty, he is saved.
Yeah, but that was a mean, low-down, dirty trick.
Those slippery sons of dogs.
Boy, they're going to pay for this one, boy. As luck would have it, there's a profound proverb that applies here.
Yes, what?
He who drives an ass must of necessity know its wind.
Know its wind!
Come on, man! El Kabar's in trouble!
El Kabar's in trouble!
Archway. We are very close,
As soon as we get through this, we'll be one realm away from the palace.
You will use the magic.
I'm going to give it to them good. After that last one they pulled on poor old El Kaba.
You use mortar magic, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to lob it up and over and right into their soup. Be destroyed, for the power of the eye is...
No. The purpose of the eye is to further our cause, not decrease it.
And if we are invaded and still you refuse me the eye, I assume you consider that furthering.
What I consider furthering, my queen, is for this subject to be closed.
It is questionable the degree of satisfaction I will have by saying I told you so to a head spiked upon the palace walls.
My patience grows mighty thin, dear queen.
It is said 10 dervishes can sleep under one blanket, but 2 kings cannot find room in one empire.
Get out!
Perhaps we will have a new sultan who will also be my lord.
Out! Out! Damnable creature. One day, I'll have her tied to the bedpost, and I'll pluck her toes off one by one.
My lord has been given his last chance. For soon, I will have not one golden eye, but two.
A voice?
In the pool. Can it be a water sprite?
Closer.
Yes, come. Show yourself, friendly water sprite. Is it gone? Sprite? Are you there? Let me hear a word. Or give me some gesture of your presence.
Here's a gesture. In your eyes.
Ah! Oh, you beastly impulse. Drown you in your own fluid. Where are you? Show yourself. Where?
Up here.
In the date palm. Or the fig tree. Ah! Ugh! Overripe fig. I'll kill you. Where are you? What is that? What's happening? We are being bombarded.
My queen, take cover. We are in a siege.
What are they using?
Overripe fruit. Look out.
Ah! You, what was that?
A watermelon, my queen.
What's going on here?
Look out.
What is that?
Watermelons, my lord.
Oh, a king could get flattened by one of those. Sound the alarm.
Sound the alarm.
My lord, the chain of command has been snuffed.
I'll sound the alarm myself. Overripe watermelons.
And still you refuse me the eye of El Caba.
Oh, shut up.
I believe they have our range, my queen.
So, the child of magic manifests overripe watermelons. Well, we shall see what a professional Miz of magic can manifest. Ha, ha, ha!
My queen, those seeds are slippery. Are you hurt?
Not as hurt as that little squirt Flasique will be when I get through with her. Come, Marmaduke, to the tower!
Over the ground, there comes a sound. It is the drum, drum, drum of hoofbeats in the sand. Quiver with fear if you are near. It is the thunder of the shadow and his band. And, oh, thunder, learn to understand.
The battle has begun. With the aid of her magic, the Queen Azora combs the great desert to find the enemy. The little Flossie bombards the palace with watermelons. Jack is at the oasis. The Contessa and the old Fatma plot to get Kelly into the invisible realm. Meanwhile, Mojo's with Lila. Kelly's in his room. Sunny's somewhere, and Hassan Bizel is ducking watermelons, and the Grand Wazir is squeezing figs.
Unhappy is the man who has no nails with which to scratch his head.
So the eye remain with the Jack Flanders in the invisible world.
We have not yet failed. A little time elapsed. Prepare, for that is all. No. The golden eye of El Kaba has been missing 4, 5, 6,000 years. But you, Fatma, cannot wait 1 week. I have a plan.
A plan.
Oui, this time we use Sahar.
Eh? And how you plan?
We use the owl. And we use this.
What is this? A few hairs.
It's from the stupid head of Kasbah Kelly.
Ah.
Oui, with the owl and the hair, we lure the Kelly out and we get him.
That was a nice siesta. Hey, Sunny? Sunny? She's not here. Oh, I hope she hasn't wandered out into the desert all alone. She doesn't know a thing about... Wait a minute. The eye of El Kabah. It's gone. Would she steal the eye? I don't know. Maybe. Yes. There's tracks leading out through the sand. I just hope it isn't another trap.
How is the Queen doing up there?
The Queen will have their range any moment, my lord.
Well, tell her to hurry up. These watermelons are destroying my palace. Look at this throne room. There's juice and seeds and rinds. It's disgusting. It's dangerous to walk around with this... That was close. Where the hell are my advisors? Call the Grand Vizier. Yes, yes. I'd ask you to pull up a cushion, but they're all soggy with watermelon juice.
Watermelon juice? Oh, my lord and king most high. Oh, beloved protector of the weak, defender of the strong. Oh, bright sunflower in the sky. Oh, big dipper in our eye.
Enough. Sit down.
Enough. I see the melon mortars have missed the fig bowl.
Listen to me, O Wazir. The sky rains thick with watermelons.
With watermelons. Fantastic figs.
You are the only one I can truly trust. We must form a plan. Quickly.
Quickly, yes. Does not the Queen Azor prepare her magic in the uppermost tower?
My Wazir. Know that it is only a matter of time before that magic will be turned upon me.
Upon you, yes. Such figs. Oh, such figs make a wazir's earlobes flat.
There is a saying. I have been saving it for you, O Wazir.
Well, what is that, my lord?
It is he who eats when he is full, digs his grave with his teeth.
With his teeth? yes. Yes, a plan. Let me see. There is a saying. A dog on the run can safely be kicked.
And who is on the run?
Who is on the run? There is another saying. If fate throws a knife at you, there are two ways of catching it. By the blade and by the handle.
Ah.
Look out! Oh, my Allah!
Tell me. Oh, Wazir. What if fate throws a watermelon at you? What then?
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack. No!
The galley is asleep. I light the candle.
When the Kelly hears the owl, he arrives, but as in a dream. Then he comes here to the graveyard and warns in the graveyard his owls.
All owls. So, morning. Nanatsu.
Fatma. He's called me.
Sahar working good on America.
No time to gloat. Be prepared. We have him. Someone Mustafa.
He called.
I wish you hurry up.
Hello, ladies.
Ah, that is him.
Where is he?
He will appear.
Hello, ladies.
Where is he?
I'm aware. On top of the tombstone.
Ah, Mustafa. We have another mission for you.
I hear.
You will escort this man to the invisible world.
I hear.
Fatima, why does he not do that? You come on.
You understand my wish?
Perfectly.
But he does not move.
You may execute my wish. Take this man, Kelly, to the invisible world.
I hear.
Nothing. He does nothing.
You comprehend?
I hear.
You hear, then obey.
I am a storyteller, nothing more.
I don't care what you are. Obey.
It is not for me.
Before, you have always obey.
Before, it appear, I obey. Simply, I tell story.
Fatma, what does it mean?
Explain.
I tell story. And story, you do what you do. Now you do no more.
It's gone mad.
You now tell us what to do, monsieur.
No, no. I tell story. You do what is in story, so it is written.
He is mad.
You contest. You understand what I say, for that is part of the story.
No, no, no. Shut him up, Fatima. Shut him up.
He cannot. For that too is written.
Shut up, shut up.
He is very crazy.
I do not write the story. I only tell.
Yes, him out. You be gone.
Very, very clear.
I tell you story. The Comtesse know very well what the storyteller meant. She asked for the challenge. For by bouncing off the head of Mustafa, she thought she could stop her own story. But she missed.
For
Mustafa, though very humble, was also very quick. So next Comtesse asked for brass stick and took aim. But once again, Mustafa is quick.
He move again.
With his wrist.
Give me that pepper,
next,
my
crow's wing.
Wing.
Here, give him his time.
You, I saw like a boomerang.
But this
move again.
Cannot stop
shut
the story.
Up. Hand me that sarcasm stick, I guess it's time.
No, I throw.
Let me throw, I have it right.
And in fact, I shoo for the Mustafa go in circles.
Move in circles.
Moving down, you say.
Now the two women argue,
so
the old crone, she throw in this also.
You miss!
You do better.
Next is also Susan, but they must not be too fast.
Oh,
yes, you good shot.
She start in opposite direction.
Mad, eh? I wait. Now. I got him! Sorry, Fatma! Orfini! What?
Orfini,
the Comtesse knows. She does not want to hear now. She wants the past, she wants future, not now. Silly woman, eh? Cannot take, so run away. Run far away from the story. Very silly. But lots of fun. And back, both women run. Run away?
It's easy to carry on war with a spyglass.
That old black magic. tending those watermelons, little child of foolish magic. For from here, in my tower, I will soon have you pinpointed. Ah, there. There you are. Near the fifth arch, little cigar-smoking brat. Down and down you go. Round and round you go. Now we'll see how much fun fear can be when my thunderbolts rain down upon your soft little pigtailed skull.
I think Sunny came this way. Where, though? Where is she? She must have taken the eye and then... Hey, wait a minute. What is this? Iron ring. There appears to be a trap door beneath the sand. Hey, there are steps leading down. This seems very familiar. Keeps going down and down. Ah, here's the bottom. There's an aluminum extension ladder. An oval mirror. Now, I seem to be inside a wall. This must be what I think it must be. Uh-huh. Here's the sliding panel.
Jack, is that you?
Auntie Jowls.
Jack, what a very pleasant surprise.
I'm afraid I'm just passing through, Auntie.
Oh, too bad. On another thrilling adventure.
Yes. You haven't seen a girl, have you? About this tall?
No one new has visited Inverness.
Darn. I guess she didn't come this way. Well,
why
I really have
are you dressed
to...
like Lawrence of Arabia? Have you been following my recreant husband about, Lord Charles?
I've been to the Sahara Desert.
I should hope so in that get-up.
Auntie, I really
have not
to...
even a cup of tea, Jack.
I'm sorry, it's really urgent.
Giles will be so upset that he missed you, please.
Well, I'll visit longer next time, promise.
Please do, and spend some time with your auntie.
I really must hurry.
Good luck, Jack. If I can be of any service...
Thank you, Auntie.
Oh, Jack! You can trust the storyteller!
She could have gone over that hill. Over there.
My Queen Azora.
Yes?
The rain of watermelons has ceased.
Good. That little nuisance is pinned down. So, Elkaba is separated from his men. Now I will find Elkaba and snuff him once and for all.
I've got to get that eye back. I'm almost to the top. There. Glowing with circles.
Can you adjust the focus?
It's the vertical hold I'm working on.
When you do projection of the mental picture up on the wall, Does it assist to play piano?
No.
Then why you do?
Well, when I was a kid, first learning piano, I used to turn off the sound on the TV and play along with Roy Rogers and Tom Mix and Red Rider and Little Beaver.
Who?
Cowboys. So now that I'm grown and working on projecting, I figure, why not play along? But I can't play and talk and project all at the same time. You can do the talking.
Ah! Picture's return. Ooh, there is someone. It is Jack. He's walking among something round. There are many circles of stone.
The way these stone circles have been laid out, patterns they've
so.
The way they interlock. And the energy.
Find what he looks
God,
for.
It's so powerful.
The valley.
I can feel it flowing from one to another.
Circle.
In fact, I can see it. I can see how one picks up the energy from another and just sends it on.
All alone.
I'm beginning to actually see
El
the energy
Kaba
that moves across the Earth's
all
surface.
Alone. Dance gently among those stone circles, dear enemy. It shall be your last dance.
I think I now understand how these circles work.
We shall have this last dance.
But for what purpose did they wish
together.
To put them
together?
Unless. What was that? This place is so filled with energy, it's becoming alive. Yikes! Lightning bolts are falling out of the sky. Yow!
Azura will kill him. But slowly. Slowly, but definitely.
The way it hits and just shatters across the valley, igniting the circles, spinning from one to another. Yow!
For it is the moment that one is in
the cross. Hey, somebody's trying to make cinders out of me.
Oh, such fun.
Yikes!
Can we help him?
It is a stupid intellect. It is that they want to release.
You can get into that world, right?
I cannot reach him in time.
Queen's got him good. That Azura, she don't have nothing to do with that queen you were serving.
No, no. My queen, may Allah be praised, never seek power like this one. She would help such a fool as Jack. For it is said, when you put your head into the mortar, it is useless to dread the sound of the pestle.
Can you help him?
I will obey you. I will try to help. Goodbye, Mojo. My master.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not your...
I must fly.
Excuse me.
Who's...
It's me.
Yes, what?
I have found what I was sent for.
So?
You said you would help me return.
Help you? Let me see what you have.
It's an eye.
So?
Let me hold. Yes. Power as I have never realized. El Kaba was such a force. Like my lord. He never knew how to use power.
May I have the eye back now?
Well,
it is the same, my dear.
Narcele, and it will pick out your eyes.
Thank you. Sorry for the echo. That was P2. I wonder where they're from. Don't know. Just some guy named Penston. Anyway, the band's called P2, and that was a track called Buried. P2, for you folks who don't know, was the name of a cabal that was up in the Italian government, military, some crypto, Masonic, fascist. There was a banker found hung. I guess they called it a suicide, but it's very strange. Waterloo Bridge in London. I can't remember his name right now. But parts of it was used in Godfather 3. I don't know what the connection is with this P2. Before that was myself, Ray Barbie, and Carlos de la Garza with a tune called Can't Stop Bob. And we start the third hour off with part N of Moon Over Morocco. Just two more parts left. And another mind movie with Jack. Be all sewn together.
Jack sure gets around.
Right. Jack gets around and trips hard, but he ends up discovering things he always knew. Just had to prove it to himself. Yeah. I got in the mail a CD from Iggy, the CDR, him singing in a mini disc, and Scotty on a little toy drum set, Ronnie on a tiny guitar in Miami, you know, Iggy's little pad. And 13 songs on there, and it was written on the CDR, was Secret Plan. And so it's the songs to the new album. So I've been jamming on that every day.
Cool.
Iggy wants me to come over for 3 days in August, just me and him, and nail down what he wants on the bass, and at fall we're going to record. Steve Albini.
Betcha.
Probably in Chicago. That's the plan so far, anyway.
Cool.
And, some great songs. And, of course, it's scary. 3 days with the boss. But I'm into it.
Yeah, new adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows what he wants.
Uh-huh.
So it's quite true. He told me, you know, let's fiddle with it, Mike. You know, come up with your lines and then we'll hammer it out.
Cool.
And so we don't waste anybody's time up in the studio. It'll be just me and you. All right. All right. I get to see him next week. And Scotty and Ronnie, Steve McKay, and all, the whole team, Josh, Rick.
So they have brand new songs? You already
There's one song. He said number six, track number six. Yeah, I wonder what the name of it is. See, I don't have names for it, but I can kind of guess. But he says we might be doing that one in Paris, so there might be a new song. But mainly still for these gigs in the summer, it's going to be what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure when we make the album, that's what the gigs will be mostly of. And I know we'll tour the U.S.
Cool.
But proper. And instead of just these one-offs and stuff. So that'll be neat, because a lot of people... I know there was a couple New York City shows, a Detroit, New Orleans. And of course, Coachella was the first one, but that's about it for the U.S.
People have been getting teased if they're not around one of those cities.
I get a lot of emails like, why is it all overseas stuff? You know, what about us? But it's coming. Be patient. Mark and Pedro show.
you know? Over here, you take it off. Now I'll kill the hunters.
Echo you out there. That was the Bent Mustache with a song called Somme. S-O-M-M-E. Somme. Is that the French river?
I don't know.
That river in France. There was big battle. First war there. A lot of English guys killed. And Germans. Before that, we had Gouchy. That's G-U. Second word, S-H-I, I think, Gucci, by PK-14, a Chinese band. And we started off with Evel Knievel by Stuffy and the Fuses. They sounded English.
Chinese guys didn't.
No. You're right about that, brother. heading off tonight to do that gig. It's Jonathan Hall's birthday. So it's kind of a birthday party for him. Dose is playing, and then with Backbiter, I'm doing the Blue Oyster Cult, Red and the Black, and Minuteman Party With Me Punk are with them. So, cool. Mr. T's Bowl, stage now sideways. Arlo's still there, a weak PA still. Sounds like a bunch of wet sleeping bags covering the speakers. But there's a good vibe there, and I love Arlo. And
then we're going to hook up this week for a little digitizing, huh?
That's right. We're going to make a digital version of the real Double Nickels on the Dime, because, one day it will come out, but for at least for ourselves, we're going to, another edition of Watt from Pedro Show, the April 22nd, 2006 one. Brother Matt, thanks so much.
Cool, thank you.
Visitor Rick Czar had to leave at the beginning of the third hour, but that was righteous.
Yeah, man. Great having Rick in town.
Yep, jamming along with Spin Cycle. That was neat.
Yeah.
And, last show until middle of May when I get back from this Euro jaunt with the Stooges. But I hope to have a lot of spiel for you about that when I come back. So till then. Keep your powder dry.